This morning's Old Testament reading is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. That's on page 961 in the Church Bibles. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. Amen.
Just before I do the reading, just one thing that I had when we were singing was that if you can imagine, Jesus is on the cross and he's dying. And there's like, the whole of heaven is holding its breath. And then Jesus says, it's finished. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine the joy in heaven when Jesus says, it's finished? Isn't that wonderful? So the reading is Luke chapter 3, verse 1 to 18. And then this is page 1029 of your church Bibles. John the Baptist prepares the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturius and Triconitus and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way is smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their heart if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. Great to see you all. Great to see those on Zoom as well. Hiya. So, my friends I've been making since lockdown, really. So it's great to be back. For those who don't know me, I don't think there's many people here who don't know me, but my name's Anne, and I'm one of the licensed lay ministers here. And not feeling the cold yet, which is good, but I have got quite a lot of layers on. Okay, and welcome to Keith too. So yeah, I'm going to have to behave now, aren't I? Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, but 3 years ago, I did this same sermon. Unfortunately, I still had all my notes on it. So it's not going to be the same sermon, but just in case those of you might remember that one. Anyway, I think we'd better pray first. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to come back into church and to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that this is your word and not my words. And I pray that you will fill everybody here with the Holy Spirit, and so that everybody can take something away from this talk this morning. Amen. So I wasn't given a title, so I've given it myself. So I was thinking waiting and preparing would be quite a useful title for this. So, and I've been given more of Luke than I had before. I'm not going to cover all of it, don't worry. I have got a little story to tell you as well, which I hope you'll find useful. So what are we all preparing for at the moment? Christmas, I think, yeah. Yeah, anybody done any preparations in particular, like stirring the cake a few times, or is it the pudding? I think it's the cake, isn't it, that's stirred a few times, so with lots of forbidden things in it. But yeah, sounds good though. I've been preparing since about May, making Christmas cards, but that's okay. Can anybody beat 26 Christmas movies since the 1st of November? Some of them are awful. three of them were awful, but the rest were okay. Anyway, it's more to come. But we're preparing for Christmas, but are we also preparing for when Jesus comes back to us and takes us to heaven? Are we preparing for that? So hopefully a little bit about what we are preparing for. Okay, so I'm going to start with a little bit from Malachi. Can't remember the page number, but I've got it here actually. Does anybody need the page number for the Bibles? So page number is 961. And just have it in front of you, just in case you need it. Because I've been reading these passages for ages, and so I'm not suggesting that you know these off by heart like I almost do. So a little bit about Malachi first. He actually prophesied around the 400s BC, so 400 and a tiny bit years before, or just less than 400 years before Jesus was born. He was actually the last prophet known to us in the Old Testament. The place of the book is actually the last prophet, because the next page is Matthew, but he also was the last prophet. So just tiny bit of background, the Israelites had not in exile anymore. The Persians overtook the Babylonians, and Persians were in charge, Persian now called Iran, and they took over, and so they weren't in exile. So you're thinking maybe they're in a good place. They weren't, sadly. Followed after the Persians, there was, I can't remember which order, Egyptians and Greeks took over, and Syrians, and then the Romans, and they suffered a lot of oppression. So that was the 400 years or so between Malachi and Jesus' birth. And also around this time was Nehemiah and Ezra, sort of around this time of Malachi. The temple was rebuilt and the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt as well. So that was all good. So verse 1 in chapter 3, I'm not going through verse by verse, but I'll point out a few. God said that through Malachi, he will send his messenger who will prepare the way before him. So very similar to what was in Luke's gospel. And this is from Isaiah 40, at the beginning of Isaiah 40. So preparing the way for his messenger. Well, presumably this means John the Baptist, because it's John the Baptist that we're introduced to in the beginning of Luke in chapter 3. Jesus had been born earlier. We heard a bit about when he was 12 as well. And then we jump to this time in Luke when John the Baptist. And here's Malachi prophesying presumably about him. And John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah, the long awaited Messiah, because the Israelites had heard loads of prophecies about the Messiah coming and about the second coming as well, and judgments, heaven, hell, so loads of different things. Malachi then asked, who is going to endure his coming? His coming first time, we can think of it as his coming a second time as well. So it's a question for all of us. Who of us will endure his coming? I've got some ideas of how we can, how there can be some help with this. I'm going to put half these books down. I can stand up easier than I can sit down now, especially on low chairs. Yeah, I've got lots of practice. So this might have been a bit of a shock about the verse 2, which says, who can stand when he appears, the Messiah? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites. Now, the Levites were from the tribe of Levi, who was one of Joseph's brothers, 12 tribes. The Levites were actually the priests, which is very important. You know, it's a sort of Keith's role, really, in church. The very important person. And what the people did from Moses' time was that they brought bought sacrifices to the priests, and then the priest would do the offering bit. Sorry if you're vegetarian. But fortunately, we don't have to do that now. But what was happening was that it wasn't happening correctly. The Israelites were actually bringing second-rate animals, animals that had disabilities, animals that, you know, maybe had three legs instead of four. I mean, this is it says it in the Bible, they weren't the correct offerings, and those offerings had to be pleasing to God, and so he wasn't very pleased. It reminds me of Cain and Abel, actually, because Cain brought an offering. So offerings have been going on right at the beginning of the Bible. And his offering wasn't brilliant, but Abel's was fantastic offering. It was the best produce he had. And so God was pleased with Abel, and then Cain killed Abel. Not so good. But, you know, he wanted offerings that were better. So even the priests had to be purified, which probably came as a bit of a shock. Okay, the other thing, if you look at verse 7, I know we didn't cover that one, but look at verse 7, Malachi reminds the Israelites that they hadn't kept God's decrees. He wants them to return to God, and he will return to them, because the Israelites apparently were feeling that God wasn't with them anymore, that they hadn't heard from him. But I think one of the things we need to do to hear from God is to talk to him. And then we will hear him, just like Sandra heard him speak through the songs. And yeah, it's amazing what he can do. There were some Israelites, though. If you have a quick glance at verse 16, there were some Israelites who were faithful to God. They were God-fearing Israelites, which meant that they were in awe of God. So there was this faithful remnant, which is what this bit is titled. The titles aren't in the Bible when it was first written. Okay, then we have 400 or so years of silence. I've given you a tiny bit of history. So while we are waiting 400 years for John the Baptist, it'll be the longest sermon ever, won't it? So just going to fill you in with a little bit where I did some waiting impatiently, okay, and how the answer to that one. So I've had two jobs, nursing and university lecturing. I had a hip replacement on 21st of September, which is now 3 months ago, 3 months on Tuesday. And that's brilliant. I can stand up, I can walk. It's fantastic. So really good. Better than the right one was when that was done. Some people will remember what I was like after that one. But all went well. But I wasn't able to do my nursing job properly because I'm allergic, very, very allergic to the surgical face masks. So I couldn't actually go in and do any nursing. I couldn't walk anyway since last January, unaided, because I was in so much pain and I couldn't put any weight through my left leg. And that's all gone. My job was getting boring because I was working at home doing things that people could do who were very beneath me. And I'm not talking about hierarchy here. I was just bored. And I do feel for people who are in a job and they are not satisfied, not challenged enough, and bored. So I feel really sorry for people in that situation. So what I did was, while I was off sick from the 21st September, I actually contacted the university where I work, Brooks, you know, not Oxford University, Brooks, and asked if there's any chance of me increasing my hours so that I could leave nursing. Because I don't think masks will ever go away from nursing, and stay at Brooks and retire from nursing properly. And I was told, possibly, that'd be lovely to have you, possibly. So I waited. I waited 3 weeks to see if I could hear anything from finance, and nothing happened. And then I was reading or listening to my Bible in 1 Year app, which has some commentaries as well. And that one of the commentaries was saying that we need to put God first in everything. I was devastated. I had gone straight from my own mind to actually ask for those hours and plan my life. And I know I'm a planner, which actually is quite difficult for me. So I just spent half an hour saying sorry to God for what I'd not done. And I was crying during this time, which often happens when you're saying sorry. I didn't go down on my knees because that would have been dangerous for my hip replacement, but I would have done if I could. I was just so sorry. And then I started to forgive myself as well a bit later. So, and then things worked out. It was amazing. It all started happening all at once. I was told by HR in the nursing team that, human resources, sorry, that they could redeploy me within the trust that I worked in. And I said, well, I'm actually waiting to see if I can get extra hours at Brooks. And the excitement was building. And 2 hours after my meeting with HR, I got an email saying, yes, you can have your extra days and you can even go up to full time if you want to. And so everything just happened at once. I was able to leave nursing a week later because I was only off sick. So apologise to Joe and other people who know the story already. So probably not many of you. A few on Zoom definitely know the story because I've been saying, and in our life group as well, because everybody in life group has been very kind enough to pray. Another great reason for life groups, definitely. Anyway, let's jump into Luke. So I certainly learnt from that. And hopefully you'll be able to take something away from that too. So Luke, we're now on page 1000 and something. So 1029. And I've got these post-it notes. This is my version of the Bible, so it's great. Don't have to wipe it either, which is good. Okay. So Luke, I'm going to jump on a bit. There we go. All that is Bible reading. So Luke is focusing on John the Baptist. The word of God came to John in the wilderness, verse 2. I hadn't actually clicked on that before, that he was in the wilderness. Jesus went to the wilderness after he was baptized, but I hadn't clicked that John was in the wilderness. And silly really. John was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, prophesied by Isaiah. And that was in the sort of around the sort of late 600s, 700s BC. So quite a long time before Malachi as well, at least 200 years. And Luke says that the crowds were coming to be baptized by John, but John was warned the crowd about their attitude. And I think this crowd might have been Gentiles and Jews, because Gentiles normally came for baptism. Some Jews felt that they didn't need baptism because they were already right with God, righteous. But in verse 7, John the Baptist warns them against their attitude, says, "You brood of vipers," meaning that they weren't very pleasant people. I think Jesus used that term as well at some time later to his disciples. So not a very nice term, but anyway, warning. And then there's a picture of, in verse around 8 and 9, of a tree that is not, of trees that don't bear fruit. And though the Israelites thought, well, we're right because we're descended from Abraham, a long time ago. And, but what is, I think is being trying to be said here is the fruit is showing genuine repentance. And the things that the Israelites have been doing wrong through the whole of the Old Testament and beyond, that they were worshipping idols right from the beginning. They were doing the wrong offerings, not pleasing to God. Some of them were adulterers. They were doing all sorts of things and kept on moaning to God. Now, moaning to God is okay. Look at the Psalms. There's a lot of complaining, people saying, "I don't like this, I really don't like this." And then there's some praise in the psalm as well. And that's quite often. I'm actually painting psalm stones at the moment. So I've got Psalm 29 today. I don't know where to put all the stones afterwards, but they will be put somewhere. But what John is saying is repentance is really important. And that his baptism is with water and for repentance. But he also says that I'm not going to be the only one who baptizes. There is one who is coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that obviously was Jesus. And Jesus, before he was doing this, was actually baptized by John, much to John's shock. That's beyond the end of my passage today, but it did happen. And if you want to read on to the rest of chapter 3, he was baptized by John, and God came down from heaven and said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." So lovely. I love that bit. So how can we prepare for the second coming? Well, for me, I think, putting God first in everything that I do, definitely. Putting God first. So Jesus is Christmas. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have a Christmas at all. They certainly didn't have it in the New Testament times. I don't know exactly when it was first used as Christmas, but that is the first thing. And can I suggest that, I mean, it's all right being for me, because I've been off sick for 3 days a week and a weekend off for quite a long time. Now I'm working 4 days a week. I have a day off. I know some of you don't have much time with children and everything else going on, but just if you can, try and spend a few moments in quiet listening to God every day. Now, one of the things I've been doing to help with that is watching morning and evening prayer from the parish of Iver in Bucks, near Slough. And I'm connected with them because my best friend is actually a curate there. I taught her when she was doing her ordination course. And so that's how I connect. And now I actually lead morning and evening prayer sometimes. It's on Facebook. Now, I know not everybody has Facebook. There are others on YouTube. And the other thing that I can recommend is, if you don't have the internet at all, which can happen, there are little books around. I have this book that I am very happy to give away to anybody who is not on the internet. I've got one here, but I don't mind buying others for people as well from church at all. And this is the Book of Common Prayer. This one is actually the old language, traditional language, but it's still beautiful, whatever. And I found that's really helped. Because that we do praise for God, and then there's prayers, there's readings and prayers, and the prayer for the morning is for the tasks for today, and for the evening it's thank you for the day. Even though a day has been dreadful, there's always something to be thankful for, I feel. And what I want to do is to just close with a passage from 2 Peter. So if you look up 2 Peter, it's right at the end of the Bible. I've got a page number here. I need my glasses for this because it's small print. Right, so 2 Peter, it's just before 1 John, and it's 12:24 in the Bible. So, and I'm going to just read to you from verses 8 to... So 2 Peter 3, verses 8 to 9 and 13 to 15. So do follow it if you like. I'm going to read from my bit because I've made it big print. I'm 60, I can't see very well. Sad, isn't it? I'm quite young, actually, so... compared with our 21-year-old. Right. Okay. So Peter says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him." So I'm going to finish with that. And I think I've gone on much longer than I thought I was going to.